Ungdomsret.
Hej og velkommen tilbage til Date Office fra den stadig unangivet radiostation, som blev sendt her på Frontløberne. Siden sidst så har vi sendt en hel ukes programmer, som er i den timeslot som vi har, som hedder 2-3 i eftermiddagen på mandager, tirsdager, onsdager og fredager. Altså 19-21 på torsdager. Vi har holdt lanseringsfredagsbar, som vi kommer til å høre noen reportasjer fra. Og vi har fått et helt nytt program, X-Fresh 5, med DJ Exile, som vi skal snakke med litt senere i programmet. Vi har stadig ikke besluttet oss på hva vår lille radiostasjon skal kalles. Men vi er ned til tre muligheter. Her er Fie Mortensen til å lese dem opp for oss.
Radio.
Sa du rar, Dio?
Rar, Dio.
Liksom rar, hva er det? Kan du utpakke det ord? Rar.
Behagelig, hyggelig.
Så det er, okay, så det er et ordspill, folkens.
Et såkalt ordspill.
Ok, så det var mulighet nummer en, rar, Dio.
Alt mulig FM.
Ok, mulighet nummer to, alt mulig FM. Den er litt mer, det er liksom et ordspill der. Den er, what you see is what you get. Ok, og så mulighet nummer tre er?
Sydhavnsbølgen.
Og takk for din hjelp med riktig dansk uttalelse. Så mulighetene igjen er?
Radio, alt mulig FM, Sydhavnsbølgen.
Og hvis man har lyst som lytter til å ha innflytelse, på hva navnet blir, så kan man skrive en e-mail til radio@frontloberne.dk, altså frontloberne med O, ikke Ø. Og så kan man skrive hva man synes stasjonen skal hede. Vi har oss i dag en velmikset historie om ludomani fra Benjamin, og en lang samtale med DJ Exile, og en helt ny sangdebut, og litt nyheter fra brettspillsdesigneren Erik. Ja, enjoy the show. Takk for at du lyttet med.
Ja.
Ok, her er vi på radiostasjonens lanseringsfredagsbar, og vi har et nytt innslag til Date Office. Vil du lige sige dit navn, og hvad indslaget heter og handler om?
Ja, jeg hedder Benjamin Saleh Hussein Vest. Jeg har lavet en 8-minutters podcast om ludomani, og at der den 1. juli kom ny lovgivning i Belgien om, at der ikke skulle være lige så mange ludomani-reklamer. Og det synes jeg var et problem, at Danmark ikke også havde, nogle bedre lovgivning, for jeg synes, der er sindssygt mange bettingreklamer over det hele, og ludomani er helt vildt forfærdeligt. Så jeg lavede den her historie, der ligesom skal få dig til at tænke, fuck man, der hvor at man sidder i de her rum og spiller, der sker nogle forfærdelige ting. Der er blandt andet en teaser, spoiler, der er en, der sætter ild til sig selv. Så ja, du skal virkelig lytte med til det her. Ja.
Cool, tak. Without further ado,
ludomaniens mekka.
Bettingreklamerne hælder benzin på ludomaniens bål, og kiosken på Viby Torv i Aarhus bliver et mekka for dem, der nærer sig af dens varme. Medarbejderen i kiosken, Martin Klovborg Madsen, fortæller her tre historier fra sin arbejdsplads, hvis ydelser bogstaveligt talt får danskere til at sætte ild til sig selv. Mit navn er Benjamin Saleh Hussein i Vest, og jeg har lavet den her historie med min journalistkollega Nikolaj Byggesmidt. Vi har taget en snak med Martin Klovborg Madsen fra Viby Torvs kiosk.
Vi har sådan et bord, hvor folk kan sidde ved at udfylde deres ting og sager. Og der står også sådan en, ikke en spritdispenser, men en flaske sprit med sådan en tud på, hvor du kan klemme ned. Og ham manden her, han havde lånt nogle penge, og simpelthen besluttede sig for, at han kunne vende de penge og få en profit. Så han havde taget en kamp, der ikke var særlig lang tid tilbage af, og så havde han smidt alle pengene på den.
Og desværre går kampen ikke hans vej.
Så han tager den flaske med sprit, skruer låget af den, og hælder det ud over sig selv, og sætter derefter ild til sin dunjak, og render rundt i kiosken, mens der er ild i ham. Og de får det slukket på en eller anden måde, men han har så fået andengradsforbrændinger på hele hans arm. Det var før jeg startede med at arbejde der, men jeg så videoovervågningen, og det så ikke sjovt ud. Det så satme voldsomt ud.
Over en periode på 5 år har der været en fordobling af voksne med varierende spilproblemer, hvis man altså følger Spillemyndighedens seneste prævalensrapport. Her er det andet vidne fra Martin om, hvor langt ludomanien kan skubbe danskere ud over grænsen.
Der er en eller anden, der var gået ind på kundetoilettet, så havde han røget en joint derinde. Og så, det skal siges, kundetoilettet og personaletoilettet er kun adskilt af sådan en meget, meget, meget gammel trævæg. Og op ad den trævæg står der, ind på kundetoilettet, står der en skraldespand. Min kollega Chris, han lægger så mærke til, efter sådan 5-6 minutter, at der begynder at komme sådan røg op af, altså gangen op til vores etage. Han kigger på overvågningen, og så kan han overhovedet ikke se noget på overvågningen. Der er fuldstændig godt. Og så løber han derned, og så er der bare kæmpe stikflammer op ad den der skraldespand, og ved at sætte ild til væggen, og så han bliver nødt til at rende ned med spand med vand. Og i den periode, han så er nede med alt det der spand, selvom alle folk i kiosken ligesom er blevet opmærksom på, at der er ved at opstå kæmpe ildebrand ned i kælderen, der er en, der går ned for at hjælpe ham. Og i den periode, i de 5 minutter, han er væk, så bliver der taget 6.000 kroner fra kassen. Gjorde jo ikke, han løb jo bare ned, altså med den spand vand der. Så ja, der blev taget lidt penge, så det, selv ildebrand stopper ikke folk, hvis de virkelig har brug for penge, åbenbart. Du kan forvente alt, når du møder på arbejde, stort set. Det var ikke lige så stille og roligt, som jeg troede, det ville være, da jeg søgte.
Spillehallen på Viby Torv er altså et mekka for ludomanien og misbrug, der fører til ildebrand, men også for kriminalitet. Den næste historie viser sammenhængen mellem miljøet fra Viby Torvs kiosk og kriminalitet.
Ja, vi har en, vi kalder det for bogen. Men det er simpelthen en mappe med lidt over 100 sider med beskrivelser og billeder af folk, der ikke må være der, og hvorfor de ikke må være der. Og det kan være alt fra, igen, rest smøger inden for, ryge joints inden for, prøve at snyde, smidt ud for at slå ud efter ekspedienterne, har vi også ham Spike, der er.
Manden, der bliver kaldt Spike, kommer jævnligt i kiosken, selvom han er i bogen og altså ikke må være der.
Jamen, da han kommer ind, der har han sådan en sort, mørkeblå, tyk, sådan vinter- og efterårsjakke på med hætten over, så man ikke kan se, hvem der er på overvågningskameraet. Det eneste, der afslører ham, det er, at han har sådan en kæmpe rødt mærke, sådan hele vejen ned af, fra det ene øje og sådan ned ad kinden. Altså bare sådan meget sådan slidte bukser, og så går han med sådan en, udenfor har han parkeret sådan en avisvogn. Og jeg kan godt se, at han går fuldstændig sådan forhutlet. Går han ind. Han sidder derinde, og alle har lært igennem tiden, at man lader ham bare være, du anerkender ham ikke, du ved sådan. Og så kommer vagten, og vagten siger pænt til ham, sådan, prøv at, du må ikke være herinde, du bliver nødt til at gå. Og det skal siges, at ham vagten, vi har på det tidspunkt, han er altså også på den gode side af sådan 60, altså han er, du ved, sådan, han er nok nærmere tæt på, altså de 70, han er sådan, han er en af de gamle vagter, der er der.
Det gør ikke Spike glad at få at vide, at han skal gå.
Altså, manden er 1,65 høj, og står op og begynder bare super aggressivt at stå og hentyde. Og han står og hentyder til, at han har et våben. Og på det her tidspunkt er der ikke nogen af os, der ved, hvad det der våben er. Han står og hentyder til vagten om, at han har det her våben, og, du ved, sådan, og at han nok skal, hvad han sagde, lægge ham ned. Og vagten bliver, altså du ved, vagten kommer på en eller anden måde bag Spike og får ham sådan presset hen imod udgangen. Og jeg tror, ham Spike, der han er så påvirket, at det ikke rigtig går op for ham, at han er sådan ved at blive presset hen mod udgangen. Og så lige pludselig, så står han med døren op mod, eller med ryggen op mod selve døren til udgangen. Og så hiver han hånden op af den der lomme der, og vi står alle sammen lidt død, sådan lidt sådan og bøjer os lidt, fordi vi ved ikke, hvad der kommer til at ske. Og så hiver han sådan en kæmpe, kæmpe lang metalkæde frem, og så står han og råber, at vi alle sammen skal hilse på hans pudel. Og så begynder han bare at stå og svinge den frem og tilbage, og stå og slå den ned på ting, og altså, du ved, den ryger over det hele udenfor, og så prøver at slå ind mod døren, for at ramme ham vagten. Og ham der vagten der, han er fuldstændig i chok, altså han ved ikke, hvad han, du ved, han ved ikke, hvad han skal gøre, han står og gemmer sig sådan lidt bag, og jeg trykker på, overfaldsalarmen. Så kommer politiet så, og de står udenfor, og ham vagten der, han er fuldstændig, altså han er fuldstændig rystet, og står og snakker med, du ved, han er jo til fare for sig selv og for alle andre, og du ved, sådan og, altså du kan godt se på ham, han var overhovedet ikke forberedt på det her. Normalt så kommer politiet også ind til os og skal have en rapport, hvis det er os, der ringer direkte til ham, men jeg tror, de havde forstået det som om, at det var GPS-manden, der ringede direkte til dem. Så de snakkede bare med ham i stedet.
Spillehallen på Viby Torv har været et mekka for ludomani, anden misbrug og kriminalitet. Og bettingreklamerne og den tilhørende bettingkultur promoverer fortsat en destruktiv hobby, der kan udvikle sig til ludomani. Stop spillet tilbyder hjælp, hvis du er i tvivl om du eller en, du kender er ludoman. Du kan få hjælp til den svære samtale som pårørende på Stop Spillets nummer 70 22 28 25. Vi vil slutte af med Martins tre bedste råd til at begå sig i en spillehal. Tak for, at du lyttede med.
Aldrig sige ja til at låne folk penge, eller give dem din MobilePay-ting. Aldrig. Nummer to vil være, aldrig kigge på folks skærme, når de er ved at odds. Det kan de simpelthen ikke. Altså, det kan de ikke. Det er som om, at det er sådan en overtro, at hvis du spiller det samme som dem, jamen, så går den ikke hjem. Og så nummer tre, det er aldrig blive for gode venner med folk, fordi de kommer til at udnytte det.
Jeg hedder Daniel, og går under kunstnernavnet Aneto FM. Og jeg er lige kastet mod i at producere noget musik. Og det er med samples fra min gode veninde Gina. Faktisk var et projekt, som vi lavede under Kærespilotstudiet, vores sidste års projekt, hvor vi blandt andet sad hernede på frontløberne. Så ja, The Guesthouse, det var en design-metode til at designe mere inklusivt i forhold til minoritetsgrupper, med henblik på sådan byudviklingsprocesser og inddragende processer af borgere. Så vi udviklede en designmetode for bedre inddragelse af byens borgere i design. Og det, du kommer til at kunne mærke i sangen, det er mere sådan en refleksion over, hvad der er vigtigt, og hvad man lige skal huske sig selv på, tror jeg. Så husk at passe på hinanden. Og det, vi skal høre nu, er Gina's Thoughts.
Complex, ambitious idea and project together. Sitting behind my screen and having cozy food sessions, but also personal conversations and space and nature while we are doing something creative. Idea that we have shouldn't be something extremely complicated. things that you then taught me about how you see it from your perspective did teach me, okay, those are things that I should also think about. What I will think of in the future to say to my other futures.
What do you want to tell yourself in the future?
Yes, hi, I'm DJ Exile. If the government is looking for me, then I'm Francesca Nyakaisiki. But for now, I think Exile does justice. It feels like I've been in radio forever. I kind of have. But also, it started out as... let's see. I wasn't even interested in radio, to be honest. I just hang out around people who hanged out at the time. I started out as a DJ. Even then, I didn't start out as a DJ. I started out as a dancer. And then when we're dancing, it was for a cause where we are raising money as children, of course, to also be able to go to school. And there are kid orphans who were also part of the group that needed to go to school, but didn't have fans, and dancing together somehow would be able to raise funds if we were dancing for, say, tourists or something like that. And then while we were practicing most of the time, I remember we didn't have a DJ, but we had music. So once in a while, like, we would be dancing here, and then you have to run over there and play the song. And then you come back and dance, and then you go and play the next song. But somehow I always had the interest to do this, to be the one to run, to play the song.
You were the one, yeah.
Yeah, while we're dancing, I'd just be the one to go and dance.
Out of how many people?
I cannot even remember. We're so many, because it depends also. During the holiday times, like when the kids are not going to school, that means we're really many, because we're dancing in open space. And I couldn't be sure. We're probably more than 100 or something like that.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're already playing to a crowd of 100 when you're how old?
Maybe 19, I think, yeah. Maybe, okay, between 17 and 19, around that time. Okay. But it wasn't that I was playing for them. It's just we were dancing. Sure, I was part of them. Call it playing for them, and I didn't know it was DJing, obviously. Even when I found out about DJing, I wasn't sure what DJing was, you get. So I would play a song and go back and dance, and so the kids would be like, some of our friends, of course, keep telling you, because they notice more than you might notice yourself. And they're like, but why don't you try to be a DJ? And I was like, what is that? And like, you know, how you play music. And the thing is, we were doing, we're together with the people who are exposed into the dance, rather hip-hop community and dance, to be honest, because they used to come to the US Rocksteady Crew. They would meet these guys and then come back with maybe dance techniques with, for example, B-boy, breakdance, because it was breakdance project. And so they would always share with us. And Abrahams was the team leader, and a whole lot of other guys that I knew from way before we started dancing. We were going to the same school, because it was a simple community, you know, like humble beginnings, real humble beginnings. So we kind of always just went in groups, walked in groups, danced in groups, and all this. And some of them would tell you, I think you can do this, I think you can do that. So I tried it. And fast forward to the time I was still doing it for fun, then I ended up into a DJ school because I wanted to know what the techniques are. I quite knew the music, you know, and I knew music that was not exactly playable in clubs, but playable within the circles that I was. As example, was Afro House, because it's easy to dance to, even to do the breakdance moves and all that, freestyle and
stuff like that. It was easy to do.
Why couldn't you play that in clubs?
People are not really interested in that kind of music where I'm from. People tend to prefer dancehall, if I could be specific, or Afrobeat. Like, it's more an audience where you play Afrobeat. And I don't know if people are still at that point in time where they don't really care for Afro House, but I know back then Afro House was not famous at all. It felt like the Western world music, you know, like the pop music. But I think people are gravitating towards that also because music is a crossover right now. There's Afrobeat here, as is house, pop, EDM, the other side. Yeah, so in the process, I joined a DJing school, and I think the course was supposed to be maybe 2 years or something, like a diploma, but I think I did it in the shortest time because some of the basics I skipped based on the experience that I seem to have without experience, you know? Like, I already had my knowledge of music, and I compiled every... I was really ready by the time I showed up, even without a background of being in a DJing school. And immediately, I just got a bit of the basics into Scratch, DJing, and things like that. And they were having shows on a TV station, Exposed. And they decided to expose me. So they put me on a show, TV show. I think it was 2 weeks into DJing. My God, have you ever seen somebody freeze on, on national television?
Do you have a clip of that?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, I don't. Maybe if I could go on the station...
archive?
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Maybe YouTube or something like that. I don't know if at the time they were recording, because this was about 2012.
Okay.
So
okay.
Maybe it's there, maybe it's not. Yeah. I was so nervous. I could barely scratch a song, and I was sweating. That was one of the longest shows, and I had a very tough producer on the other side. And it was my first experience to have like a microphone in the ear, and then there's a studio MC, and then there's a producer. So you kind of have to keep in touch with all of them and in sync, because what's going on TV has to be something the PD wants to see. And then I was so sick. At some point, I became very serious on the face, and then there was somebody doing like, you know, like, why are you not smiling on TV? It was one of the craziest shows I ever had, but they gave me a platform starting off with them, and we went on for maybe 2 years before our contract ended. It was a weekendly, every Saturday show.
Where you continued playing on TV?
Yeah.
Huh. Did you have the same DJ name?
Yeah, Exile, yes. So I went on to play on that TV for every Saturday with other DJs because I kept being better. And so somehow my nerves started relaxing, and then I was talking too. So they said, why don't you just become a radio presenter? You get it. It's like everybody saw the ability before I could see myself. It's like, why don't you become a radio presenter? I was like, I don't think anybody wants to hear me. They said, you will be surprised. So it somehow happened, obviously, while we did TV and then a club. It was not exactly a club because it was like a place, a sports center, rugby sports center. So every weekend there were games, and I was somehow put in front of crowds of hype men and, you know, very crazy crowd. If you're boring, they straight up. And for we have a saying, when the DJ is boring, we say our money, even if we didn't pay entrance. So when you start hearing our money, you got to change that list up. So yeah. And then there was a radio station that started somewhere in the same area. And so because my friends kept saying, oh, you should, you know, the same people I was working with, the platinum DJs, they kept telling me, you should try out. And I went for like a trial. We were so many for the interview. And I think my background with TV kind of gave him the impression that I might be more reliable than somebody without any experience. And they gave me a job, and they put me on a prime show. I had no clue what to do.
What time slot?
They put me on 3 to 6 p.m. That's prime time.
That's super like, prime time.
Yeah, it's drive, you know?
Yeah, that's so, on your way home from work,
exactly,
making dinner.
Exactly, right? So they put me on a prime show, but because it was a new radio, so not so many people, I guess, were listening, so you could get around with your mishaps and all that.
What was the name of the station?
Juice FM.
That's a good name.
Now, here's the funny thing. That was owned by a tabloid newspaper. So, and they were writing all the nasty stories. So you get why the gist
gossip
of juice.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, the story. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe that was the inspiration for the name of the station. And along with that, I got an opportunity. They decided that I have fun stories on the radio, so they want me to put them in the newspaper. They decided that I write in the gossip section. Oh my God.
No way. Oh, so you became a columnist.
Yeah.
What did you write about?
If I tell you, I'll have to kill you.
Is that in the newspaper?
Well, those newspapers are not there anymore.
Did you have a pseudonym? A fake name that you wrote under? Or did you write under your real name?
Not my real name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was.
Can you give us just a flavor of what it was like? No specific.
You know, somebody who might listen to this, like, oh my God, this was you did this. So.
Okay. All right. Fair
enough. We kind of signed those non-disclosure
agreements. Sure.
Yeah. So
I know it is.
I did a bit of an article for that newspaper. Then I also got into a DJing set because I used to just present a show. It was different, just playing music, talking about music, and just a regular show. Then they also found out that I'm actually a DJ. And initially...
Oh, so you weren't picking the songs?
No.
For the first show.
Yeah, okay. For that first time, I wasn't. And they also, for some reason, they wanted me to use my government name. And then when they found out that actually Exile is a bigger brand already on TV and what, they said, I dropped that name. I was like, why? They said, we are your bosses, so we are telling you what to do. Drop that name, use the other name. So then I said, but that one is more of my DJing personality. Then they said, okay, so you are DJ now. I was like, okay. I took it on. I started doing a weekend show as well. In the night, obviously, after the TV and then radio. You know, eventually I focused more on radio. I stopped the rugby sports center DJing, and the TV contract had ended. And then other TVs called me on, of course. So I played at another national television, one of the biggest, actually. And then still at Red Pepper Overtime with Juice FM. I actually just, I don't know, I wanted to try something different, like greener pastures and all that. And especially, there was one radio station that everybody was afraid of because apparently the English, the problem was the English was too English.
Like the spoken language.
Yeah,
the way
yeah,
they
yeah.
talked. Okay.
Yeah, that's what they call it, the English people station. So like when you go there, you're like, okay, you went to school, my guy. You know, that's how it was. So I went for that station.
Did your bosses tell you to speak differently?
No, they don't. Actually, I don't know.
Oh, it's just an idea that people
have. Yeah. Okay. It's what people think of it. It's like the impression out there. It's like you have to know very good English. You have to be educated, to name but a few. So I went there when I was literally just starting I think maybe in my second year of university. So I just went there and I told them I'm in school. I want to try this. I want what? But I have an experience of this nature and I'm already on TV. What? So I guess each of which I had already done kind of... boosted my opportunity or my chances of getting in, but they didn't have a show at the time. Like they all slots were full. Getting into that station, it was, and it's like the Grammys of working on radio in Uganda. So they gave me a very late night show just to try, obviously, because the way I came in, they felt maybe I was too energetic or something like that at the beginning. And so they wanted to tame me or to nurture me into what the station sounds like. To be able to fit the station a sound and ID.
Yeah.
So they put me on that late night show and I did it for maybe a year. Very late. I'm talking about a graveyard shift.
Yeah.
Like
2 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
But live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But live. Yeah. I did it for a year. And then somehow... I don't know if it was luck or not, but obviously they already have their own sitting presenters, presenters who are trained to do every other show. So if anybody falls sick or the main presenter is unable to come, this person will sit in for that show. So I don't know if she left or she was fired or something like that. And then it so happens that the presenter of another main show left. And I had tried out most of the shows. So
there's your opening.
Yeah. And for some, like, I hadn't really tried out that show much because every time I had to sit in for him, I'd be asking, how do you do your show or whatever? He would say, just do you, be you. He also was always throwing me in, like, I never knew what to do. Every time I'd go on that show, I would fuck up. Like, my life depends on it. Can I say that?
Yeah.
like my life depends on it. And I'd hear it from the PD the next day. Oh, wee. And I'd be like, but he didn't prep me and all that. Then he would say, well, talk to him. And every time I talked to him, he said, do you? It was insane. Somehow he left. And then they gave me the show, even without me knowing enough about the show. So
it was a music show.
Yeah, it was a music show. And that show was the entry point of all the music that rotated on the station. It was the sound of the station ID. So basically, every song that the station adopted to play later on rotation, regular rotation, came through that show.
Wow.
Right?
What was the name of the show?
Hot 8 at 8. So they
A.M.?
No, P.M.
A.M., okay.
It's prime time, but it started at 7 up to 9 p.m.
Yeah.
So there was a whole lot of features. But it was like a bam, 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 back to back. You know, it was crazy. And it was, and the PD told me, it's your energy that can do this show. Because initially people were like, oh my God, we're coming from work. And all the person on this show is a little bit laid back. And other people were used to him because he sounded like he come from the UK and all that. So, and English was the Englishing that we kind of kept saying. So we're like, oh, you gone that show? Do you have enough English? So they put me on that show and they gave me the notes. Where the notes is basically what the show looks like or sounds like. And then they said, now you make it your own. That was the hardest thing to ever hear. Bruh.
Wait, and it was a nightly show?
Every day of the week.
Wow.
Until Friday. And then Saturday I would do another show. I only had one day off in the week, Sunday.
So are you DJing this show too? Where are you finding music?
Just looking for research. Online. I'd come into studio as early as 12 or 1 p.m. and just to prep for a show of 7 p.m. And also just because I needed to go through floods and floods of music, because there's a lot of music that comes out on a regular.
Yeah.
And also you have to be considerate of the station sound. And also you have to be considerate of what's going on currently, you know, like among other things, the celebrity news and relevance of what you're putting on the show.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it also somehow it boosts each other, like the music and what you're talking about. Because, for example, if Rema won an accolade today and then he has a new song that came out 2 days ago, then it fits best that you bring that song on the show so that you even talk about the accolade.
Right.
So that there is,
So
just the songs just didn't come on the show randomly. But also, among other things, there is that for the selection strategy. So I could sit all day and go through. I had a whole lot of music. And then the station at some point was buying music from, I think, Radio Express. So I had access to that. Of course, I started doing that show from 2018 up until the time I left last year, till I moved here. So it's about 5 years. Yeah, I grew through the show, obviously, with the producers calling me left, right, and center. And he really made me. That's to be honest. He really made me. That show made so much of me that I didn't know. Like, I grew in terms of production because now I produce this Express 5 myself. Like, sometimes I even create ads with my own voice, but you cannot tell it's my own voice because I kind of know how to play around with the effects and I'm simply using my laptop. I have simple equipment at home. But some people really need giant computers and all this keyboard technology and all that to do all that. But I can work with the smallest equipment that I have. And so I started producing the show eventually myself, because initially there was a producer for the show. And sometimes we would disagree on the songs too much, or based because on my research, I've done research for the show, and he just wants songs that maybe came out that day, or maybe just because he likes the song. And then when I get on the show, we are two different, the show and then me. So then I talked to the PD and he was like, can you produce it? And so when they gave me the rights to produce the show, I created features. I started creating branding imaging and all that for the show myself. And you know, the show and I became one. By 2019, I won the best station presenter, same as the year I left, best presenter twice, 2 years. Wow. And best voice on air, it's like I really grew on that station. And it's funny that the day I came in and I did a promo, like, you know, when you walk into a station and you're trying to get the job, then they say, okay, try out. Let's hear how you sound. What do you know? How would you put one and two words together to make sense to the listener? In the future, obviously, working with the producer, he told me, when you came in here, we were like, no, you are too loud, you're too energetic, I can't believe you're the best presenter we have.
I hear that. Well, okay, so yeah, what are you creating with this show?
Awareness, Afrobeats, African music, and just obviously, it has been a big part of my life, yes, and it still is, and I don't want that to change. But also, I don't want to impose. People already have their own preferred sound. So while I'm showing them or sharing with them, I really think it is important that I share a story, because people relate so much with stories. And if there's a story to why this artist should be celebrated, and their story maybe through the music, the journey, the creation process, and just being where they are, because people are just, for example, seeing, oh my God, Rema is now on international stage winning Song of the Year, and people just don't know the real story behind Rema. But I've had a chance, I've interviewed Rema when I was back there, I kind of know his story. And so for me to be able to put the story together and share it here, and share it with the people who already know me around here, it makes it so much easier and fun. And just obviously sharing my own culture while I am learning a new culture. You learn while you're sharing. I came here last year. Yeah, in April. So I tried immediately. I just didn't want to lose the whole radio touch, because even when I was here, I sought permission to be able to continue doing production even when I'm here, but just sending the shows to Uganda. It's not like I was marketing them here yet, so I stay fresh and on my feet. Then I decided to try out radio stations. I went to one, actually, let me not say many. Others I just wrote and they never got back. And then one I did a walk-in, just like I did in Uganda, to be able to end up on Sanyo FM. So I decided, let me try it here and see if it works. So I did. I put a proposal together, a really good proposal, by the way. That was the most painful part, like a real booklet and everything, make it nice. Oh, my God. So I take the proposal, and I will never forget, it was August, right before Ferry. The person was about to go for Ferry. So I meet the PD, and there was not anybody in there. I think people had already gone for their ferry. So he was very happy to meet me, very happy about the concept. He sat, he read the concept. Oh, I gave him ideas. And he was like, if I don't get back to you by the 18th of August, send me another email. He even asked me to send him some clips from my previous work from Uganda and all that. So I did. I'm still waiting for the reply, 2022. This year is also ending, 23. Nothing. He could have said, but fuck off. He could at least have said, fuck off. Yeah. You know, that would have given me, you know how bad it is to leave someone hanging?
It's bad. It's ghosting. So if I understood correctly, you're part of VVE Collective.
Yes.
So can you talk about how you found VVE Collective and like what, aside from this show, what else you're doing now?
Oh, there's a whole lot. Will I manage to say it all? Because I'm trying to figure myself out still. But if I could start with VVE, I remember I met a friend here. I met a friend. I'm quite sociable, if you can tell. So I was in town here trying to figure my own self around, you know. And I ended up at a bar called Unamaskin. You know where that is? Yeah. So I ended up at Unamaskin. And I was just sitting there, and I was sitting in a corner just observing people. I guess it's weird for some people, but I was just sitting. And
there's good people watching at Unamaskin. Yeah.
So I was just looking at people and doing nothing. And then there was a lady seated at the bar with another African guy. And then she told him to come and tell me not to sit by myself. So he came and said, my friend says don't sit by yourself. You should join us. And I was like, okay. I just came. And then I started dancing for me because I also have a dancing background. So started dancing, and that fast forward, we became friends. And then she learned about my background and how I was struggling with that. And so she told me about VVE.
Who is this?
She's called Judy. Cool. She has been here for, I think, 10 years now. So she told me about VVE, and then she told me about Jakita, a friend of hers who is a member of VVE. And then she told me they have an event. They had an event. I think it was one of the last events at Club 22 before it closed.
Yeah, back in 22. Yeah.
So she took me there. She actually came with me. We planned, and then she brought me in, and then she introduced me to Jakita. Did she introduce me that day? Maybe I'm mixing my details up. Well, she introduced me to Jakita, and yeah, that's how I talked to her, and she was like, "Are you interested?" I told her I'm a female DJ from Uganda. I do Afro music, Afro beats, for that matter. So Afro house is the Afro pop. I can play Afro hip hop, Afro funk, anything Afro I play. Yeah, you are welcome. So I became a member, and everything else falls in between there. There, us moving here, renting an office space, and doing events, and me playing for. Actually, I think they gave me a bigger chance to DJ around here, because even before I joined, I tried to get to work at a club here. I went to a club and I told them I'm a DJ. I gave them my background history and what. They asked me, I don't know if it, I'm not going to mention names. I don't want to start making enemies before course, I make friends.
Of course.
Yeah. So they told me to make, what would you call it? Like a sample mixtape or something like that.
Yeah.
They told me to come a night before, listen to what they do, and then I can thereafter make a mixtape. Then at one weekend, I went, stayed the whole night, listened to what the DJ's playing and blah, blah. Then I went home, and next day I did a mixtape. And I actually...
In their style.
Yeah, in my own style, but I did exactly... Yeah, sure. If anybody listened to the playlist from the previous weekend, it's exactly what I used for that weekend. And then they told me, okay, this is not the sound of Aarhus. This is not Denmark or Scandinavian sound, to be specific. Nobody's really into Afro music like that. Or because it was the same music. It wasn't necessarily Afro. It was the same songs, but different versions. Because sometimes I also try to produce. I've tried production of like real beats just so. Cool. Because, for example, the soundtrack to this show, I produced that one myself. So I've tried to do a bit of Afro soundtrack production. And then sometimes I get the acapellas online, like on YouTube, for songs that are pretty famous, and then maybe sit them on the beats or just do remixes my way. Sometimes I use other people's remixes. So I played that mixtape, and then they said it's not the sound of a Scandinavian sound. And then he told me. He checked out my social media. It's pretty too Afro for the crowd here. So nobody's going to buy into that. If I need to be able to play any clubs in Aarhus or Denmark, for that matter, I need to change my sound. Then I said, let me leave clubs alone. Let me just focus on working with VVE. So whenever they would have events, I would be the Afro slot in there.
And then you also have the dance
crew, right? With Camila.
Yeah.
It's, again... part of the other way to introduce people to Afrobeat. So like when I'm doing the podcast, and besides the podcast, then there is dancing, because we play all this music, but we have to also show people how they dance to this music, because all they can do most of the time, people are just jumping up and down, up and down. But there is rules to this music. It's not necessarily that you have to learn the rules. If you don't want, you don't want. If you want to dance the way you want to, that's just also it. But if you want to really get it all, you know, like a full package, like get the song, fall in love with the song, and why do you fall in love with the song? Because there's a routine to it. It's just part of sharing your own culture, really.
I've seen you in the middle of DJing, show people how to do the moves.
Yeah, I do that too. I do that too, because sometimes I play songs that I know have like trending routines to them, and sometimes people are just not sure about it. So if it fits, usually I come and share.
So it's called Afro Jammers, right?
Afro Jammers.
Can people be a part of it?
Yeah. It's free. It's really free. People can always come and dance whenever we have a date for that. No. We actually choose a date, and we always put it on our Instagram. Cool. And we push it for like, usually we choose, we share it a month ahead, and so people have time to adjust their programs and around it and all that. And we moved it up. It used to be 5 to 6, but we moved it 6 to 7:30 so that people are off work.
Yeah, a little easier. Sure.
Yeah.
And do you want to introduce what for our radio listeners will be their first experience of hearing your show?
I'm trying to figure out how to do this. Would you give me a sample? Or what do you think I should go for?
Sure, yeah. You could do a This Is DJ Exile. Mm. From here on out, every Friday, 2 to 3, mm. you can hear these tunes.
Mm-hmm. See, you did it. I think I should.
Yeah, but I'm not in host mode. I'm in interviewer mode, so I can't. Yeah, I can't do it. You know,
I like interviewer mode. It's always chill because you're just hearing this. What is going on? Oh my God! Oh my Lord! You're saying this, that, and the other. Yeah. Okay. Hey guys. I'm gonna be serious. No. Hey guys, it's DJ Exile, and I want to welcome you to the X Fresh 5 every single Friday, 2 to 3 or 98.7 FM. Ready for a good time? Well, I am. Let's get it.
For me, baby, me not kid you not. My girl tell me say she need Martina Raja that. Her friends want the type of love that my baby got. The type of love that I give is unconditional. The way me call her be my baby like a criminal. I took her from a pussy nigga who's not worthy, yeah. She love me, yeah, because I keep it PP. She love me, anytime we say she never quickie. Bouncy body, body, bouncy body. Me a take her to the balcony, I'm get a little greedy, greedy. She washing up a bowl of yam sneaky. Stroke on a pussy, she a cry, baby, yeah. Spices, give me piece of your pie, baby, yeah. Time to live, would you say bye to me, yeah. Don't leave, don't leave. She say don't leave, yeah. She say Remy, I don't mean to be mean. Always hustle up for the green, take one for the team. She seizing all my keys, new level D's. She don't want to share my body with no other girl, she's on some Jolene. Enough of my lovey, my lovey, my lovey, my lovey. Mmm, why you go with me go run, I'm on a low, I don't tell daddy. Me go spray money like a biology. Mmm, cool loose. Get your body, they don't cool loose. Yeah, no be a brave fool. But yeah, me let no. She love me, yeah, because I keep it pee pee. She love me, anytime we say she never quickie. Bouncy body, body, bouncy body. Me a take her to the balcony, I'm guessing that I'm greedy, greedy. She washing up a bowl of yam sneaky. Stroke on a pussy, she a cry, baby, yeah. Bite the skin, baby, set your pie, baby, yeah. Time to live, what you say bye to me, yeah. Don't leave, don't leave. She say don't leave, yeah. She say Remy, I don't mean to be mean. Always hustle up for the green, take one for the team. She's using all my keys, new level D's. She don't want to share my body with no other girl, she's on some jolly. Yeah, she no be getting enough of my loving. She no be getting enough of my loving, my loving, my loving, my loving.
Hvad skal der her?
Nå, jeg er bare lige i gang med at sætte lidt forlængeledning op. Så der er lidt strøm til folk, når de sidder og arbejder. Ah. Ja.
Så har jeg hovedet op i.
Vi er på frontløberne, ind i fællesrummet. Hvor det har indtil videre været ens eget ansvar at tage en forlængeledning med. Så man kan sidde og arbejde og få noget strøm. Og nu der er det noget, vi laver. Så folk kan forvente, at der er lidt strøm hernede. Det er faktisk rigtigt, ja. Jeg er medlemsrepræsentant. Det kan godt være, jo, lad os da sige, at vi kan se det her som en indsats, baseret på den rolle, jeg har som medlemsrepræsentant. Det er i hvert fald en god ting, tror jeg, at have for øje, hvordan brugerne de har det. Om der er et eller andet, de går og sådan efterspørger. Jeg går jo og har sådan lidt en, jeg forsøger at have lidt en finger på pulsen, når man nu også skal prøve at repræsentere dem i bestyrelsesammenhæng.
Ja. Har du mærket, at folk har lidet af ikke nok strøm?
Ja, det har jeg kunnet mærke. Der er flere, der har sagt det til mig. Der er ikke nok indgang til alle vores computer. Vi sidder her med så sindssygt mange computere, der er bare ikke nok strøm til os. Vi skal sidde og arbejde på en eller anden vigtig, et vigtigt, kreativt kunstnerisk projekt i den her forening, og vi mangler strøm.
Vil du starte med at sige dit navn?
Ja, hej. Mit navn er Erik Alfasten. Jeg er lige kommet ind ad døren, så jeg er måske lidt forpustet, men det håber jeg, I kan leve med.
Altså, hvilken dør?
På frontløberne ved Sydhavnen i Aarhus. Dejligt sted. Der er masser af fest.
Fordi masser, der er?
Ja, fordi vi har åbnet den her radio, som hedder... der er mange titler på den her radio.
Vil du lige læse nogle af mulighederne?
Har vi ramt?
Nej, altså... det er...
Jeg foreslog jo Danske Bank Radio.
Okay.
Jeg har ikke tur at skrive det på. Fronten FM. Den synes jeg er meget fed.
Ja.
Den
og der kommer en ny lige nu. Okay, det er nogen, som har lige skrevet en ny. Hvad står det der?
Sydhavnsbølgen.
Hvem har skrevet den?
Det her...
Kasper.
Ja. Sydhavnsbølgen, det er frisk, der er gang i den.
Det kan noget.
Det kan noget, ja, som man siger på godt dansk.
Nej, men du var i gang med at fortælle om et nyt spil, som du har udviklet. Kan du fortælle lidt mere om det?
Ja, jeg har i mange år, i 12 år faktisk, udviklet på et spil, som et brætspil, som foregår på et kontor. Man skal forestille sig, at man er helt ny medarbejder på det her kontor, og lige er startet og blevet vist rundt, men man har glemt fuldstændig, hvordan det her kontor det er opbygget, og man kan overhovedet ikke finde rundt. Så det spillet går ud på, det er sådan set bare at finde ud, og man starter så i kantinen, som er en stor brik, og så trækker man brikker, og det kan være T-kryds, eller kryds, eller sving, eller lige ud, eller blindgyder, og så skal man forestille sig, at der danner en stor labyrint, og
som
fuldstændig umuligt at springe, og det der så man ved eller ikke ved, det er at det er først sidste brik, der er udgangen af kontoret, og så gælder om ikke for alt i verden at møde sine kolleger, fordi de giver en opgaver som man skal fuldføre, før man så kan komme ud.
Og er ens kollegaer medspillere?
Nej, de er ligesom, de bliver genereret.
Okay, det er en slags non-player characters.
AI, ja.
Okay.
Det er kort, man trækker og læser, ja, højt.
Okay.
Men ens medspiller er også nyansat på det her kontor. Så man kæmper om lidt, hvad den, der finder udgang først og bliver færdig med sin opgave. Man skal selvfølgelig være færdig med sin opgave, før man kan forlade kontoret. Det er korrekt. Eller,
det bliver fjertet.
Jeg har aldrig selv haft et kontorarbejde. Jeg er håndarbejder. Jeg er håndværker, hedder det. Så det er derfor den store fascination af kontoret.
Ja,
som,
ja, ja.
Det er selvfølgelig også, hvorfor jeg kommer meget her på frontløberne. Det er meget fascinerende med sådan et kontor. Og de skal mysler, der kan foregå. Ja.
Synes du, dette er et kontor?
Ja, jamen det er det jo på sin vis. Det er jo også mange andre ting. Det er jo et kultursted. Det er jo nærmest et festivalsted. Der foregår masse ting, som man kan undersøge derude. Jeg synes altid, at jeg bare kommer herned, og så foregår der noget enormt spændende. Og så ved man aldrig, hvor man bliver taget ind.
Hvad hedder det spil?
Det hedder Stress. Ja. Jeg tror, jeg skal finde en anden titel. Det kan være, der er nogen, der har nogle forslag, fordi der er et andet spil, der hedder Stress. Ja. Det har skabt lidt forvirring omkring.
Okay, hvis man har et andet navn til det brætspil, som er blevet beskrevet, så kan man sende det ind til radio@frontløberne.dk. Og så kommer det frem til dig.
Frontløberne.dk.
Ja, eller frontløberne med O.
Løberne.
Altså ikke frontløberne, men frontløberne. Ja. Ligesom igen.
Ja. Det er sådan lidt, ja.
Kan folk finde eller downloade dit spil et sted?
Det kan de ikke. De kan komme ned på frontløberne og sige hej til mig og spørge, om de kan få lov at spilteste, og det må de meget gerne. Jeg hedder Erik.
Cool.
Og jeg tror, jeg er den eneste hernede, der hedder Erik.
Ja, det tror jeg også, faktisk.
Og jeg har også lige lavet et andet spil. Det lavede jeg i den her uge. Jeg fik det ind i søndags og har simpelthen lavet det på 4 dage, og det fungerer fuldstændig perfekt.
Okay.
Det er også labyrint tema.
Okay, fortæl om den.
Små messingfigurer af dyr, som bevæger sig ind i en labyrint, hvor de skal finde møntposer. Selvfølgelig, møntposer, det er det vigtigste.
Det skal man have.
Det er skatte. Ja, det skal man have. Og, men inde i midten af labyrinten står en gammel egyptisk gud, Anubis. Meget farlig.
Kender.
Jeg ville have lavet hvad hedder den her martyrhoved, som står inde i midten af labyrinten? Det er noget græsk mytologi.
Minotaur.
Minotaur selvfølgelig. Men jeg havde ikke den figur, men jeg havde til gengæld en figur af Anubis, og den så lige så altså, virkelig fin. Og så snart, at man har fundet møntposen op, så begynder Anubis at bevæge sig rundt i labyrinten. Og så er det bare med at komme ud igen, og så bliver man nakket.
Okay,
så det er
spændende.
Temaet meget simpelt.
Og har du titel på den?
Det har jeg ikke.
Okay, der igen, så kan folk lyttere kan sende ind radio.
snabelayfrontloberne.dk.
Der kan man sende navn ideer til Erik.
Vinderen Sears Top.
Okay.
Ja.
Vinderen vinder en Sears Top. Kald eller varm? Lunken.
Ja, sådan lidt mellemting, jeg vil sige, fra kassen.
Okay. Ja, ja, sounds good. Er det noget andet, du vil sige til lytterne?
Nej, jeg vil sige tak, fordi I lytter. Vi er jo utrolig glade for, at vi er kommet på FM. Jeg vil også sige, at det er min første gang i radioen, det her. Jeg synes, det er spændende. Og det håber jeg også, I synes, I gør.
Tak.
Tak fordi I lyttede med.
I dagens program så har vi hørt musik fra Rema, Bjørn Svin og Holisna CC0. Tak til Nordea Fonden for jeres støtte til programmet. Tune in next week samtidig til å høre Flexshows neste utsendelse, som blir med ny vert. Angelo Alexander Bannister tar over kontrollen og sender en helt ny episode av et helt nytt konsept.
I Aarhus på FM 98,7 MHz og 89,5 MHz.